All right, all right. Welcome to iHeart Mooresville here on WSIC. I'm your host, Don Smile. Christine Patterson, my beloved co-host, will not be joining us today, although she's always here in spirit, and we miss her, and we hope to have her back next week. So, Christine, love you. Miss you. So, with that said, we are super excited to have you join us today. As always, we will be talking things, all things Mooresville, and we have some pretty special guests today. Adam and Carrie Brawley are here from the Brawley Seed Company. And actually, I think you changed your name, didn't you?
We did.
Okay.
Just last year, did a little rebranding.
Well, technically, we're the Brawley Company.
Right.
That's an all-encompassing corporate name. So I guess late 90s, we went from Brawley Seed to Brawley Garden Center to more distinguish ourselves as what we were.
Right, right.
And then we said, you know, that's kind of lame. We should go back to our retro name, our original. So we do business as the Brawley Seed Company right now.
And Garden Center, because it's super long.
Perfect. Yeah. It looks great on a t-shirt, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I know this time of year you are probably very busy, and we'll get into that. So, again, thanks for joining us. We're excited to talk to you because it is that time of year. And my wife and I have been doing a little planting. And I want to talk to you about some of the flowers we have because I have so many questions, but we'll get into that. So anyway, I like to sometimes start the show by talking about some of the things that are going on nationally that are somewhat Parks and Rec-centric. There's a day and a month and a week for everything, right? And so we have some things coming up in May that I think are special and tied to us for sure. First one I want to mention is National Teacher Appreciation Day. And I say that because I don't think we appreciate our teachers enough. I remember to this day the name of my high school teacher, homeroom, Miss Mellon. And I remember her because she was somebody who cared. She cared about the kids that she took care of. And if it were not for her, I probably would not have graduated high school. I'll just say that out loud. I was not the best student in high school. Probably got into a little too much fun. But she was always the one who reminded me that, hey, there's a future and a life beyond high school. And so she kept me focused, and I appreciate Miss Mellon. So National Teachers Day is coming up. We appreciate all of them. National Receptionist Day is also coming up, and I don't refer to them as receptionists, but we have one of the best, Debbie Wyatt, who is kind of our front desk attendant. She's pretty much all things Parks and Rec. If you've been in Mooresville or done anything with Parks and Recreation, you know who Debbie is. She's sits at the front desk because she answers the phones, and she pretty much keeps us all fed very well. She is an amazing cook and awesome. Constantly brings in something to eat. And my waistline thanks her a lot. And then let's see. Hey, something close to your hearts, National Public Gardens Day is coming up on the 10th.
Awesome.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Hey.
I did not. The major one we celebrate in May is the first Saturday of every May is International Naked Gardening Day. If you pay attention to our Facebook post, you'll see that we participated last Saturday.
Okay.
So it's all kind of tasteful, but...
And I'm sure there were plants and yeah. flowers positioned yeah. accordingly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So. National Public Gardens Day. I mean, who doesn't appreciate a great garden, right? It looks so beautiful, right?
Yeah.
I came back recently from a trip to Europe and spent some time in various locations. But one of the things that I was really impressed with was the flowers in the gardens over there. They're very impressive. And so it was really nice to see. My wife dabbles a little bit in gardening too. So that's a day that we certainly appreciate. And I think from a business perspective, a day you guys probably appreciate as well. All right. So maybe you should promote that this week, huh?
Not a bad idea.
Hey, National Public Gardens Day is coming up. Come see us, right? Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
And also on the same day is National Small Business Day. So how about those two things?
I know. Double whammy.
Seems like a perfect combination for
you. I don't know where else you'd rather be besides Brawley Seed Company on that day.
Bada boom, right? Oh, man. You were made for radio. Promotion. All right. So anyway, like I said, there's always something going on, and I think that those are kind of appropriate for our conversation today. So let's see. What else is going on in and around Mooresville? See, our friends at Hoptown Brewery apparently won a very prestigious beer competition, the 2024 World Beer Cup. They took bronze medal for locally sourced Sweet Wings Honey Wheat Ale. So think nice. About it. How That's about awesome. That?
I love Sweet Wings.
We deal with Sweet Wings as well.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Haven't had any of their beer yet.
Well, they had more than 9,000 beers in the competition. 9,000 beers, okay? Hoptown is only one of 8 North Carolina breweries to place at the World Beer Cup. So, I mean, that's quite an accomplishment.
That's impressive.
That is yeah. really impressive.
They competed against more than 65 breweries from around the world in the honey beer category. And so Scott Plemons, who's the founder, said that Sweet Wings is truly North Carolina at its best. It's an easy-drinking, slightly sweet wheat ale that is sourced from local ingredients, supporting fellow local businesses right in our backyard, which I can appreciate, and I think you can as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
Can I chime in there a little bit, Don? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bill.
To interrupt from behind the scenes, but they were on a show the other day.
Okay.
Scott Plemons and his wife, Sandy, and they also mentioned that all of it comes from Mooresville, all the ingredients. So the honey, the hops, the water. I mean, so it's an all Mooresville beer, and it took home third, you know, internationally, which is pretty incredible.
That's yeah, amazing. That's awesome. And, you know, to be completely sourced locally.
Yes.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah. You know? Something to be proud of for sure.
Yeah. So I think we need an applause or some kind of bell. What you got? What you got back there, Bill? Give it to me. There we go. Congratulations to Hoptown Brewery. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. 9,000 beers, and they took home bronze. So, well, congratulations to those guys. I'm going to have to try that because that
sounds
good.
Yeah, are there any samples in the fridge out there?
That sounds really good.
There actually are.
Hey, don't say that. And, Scott, if you're listening, samples. No, just kidding. We can't take gifts, but we appreciate what you do.
I can.
Oh, you can, yes. All right, what else have we got going on here? Ah, yes, we have talked about this a couple times, but Tacos for Life is a local taqueria here, and they are a restaurant on a mission to end childhood hunger. They're taking over a familiar spot occupied by Cantina 1511 on Town Center Drive.
I heard that.
So they're coming soon. I've seen them around in other locations. I drive by one on my way to and from work every day. So it'd be nice to have them locally for lunch. It says that this addition to the community promises to deliver delicious tacos. Of course, every taco is delicious, but theirs are probably better. along with a chance to make a positive impact in the world. Their meal for meal program ensures that every taco you enjoy, another meal is provided to a starving child. So that's a great way to impact the community and also provide some delicious tacos. And I will tell you, I'm a taco fanatic, but they have to be hard shells. Not a fan of the soft. Don't like the soft tacos. Got to have the hard shells, the crunch. That's what makes it good. So we obviously, as I said, we have some amazing guests today, and we're going to have fun with Adam and Carrie from the Brawley Seed Company and Garden Center here on WSIC when we come back from break.
Local as Mooresville. Christine Patterson and Don Smile host iHeart Mooresville on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Looking good, Mooresville.
I mean, you're sitting at that traffic light too. Might as well be looking at something.
iHeart Mooresville continues now on WSIC.
All right, welcome back to iHeart Mooresville here on WSIC. I'm your host, Don Smile. And as mentioned, Christine Patterson, my beloved co-host, is not here with us today. However, in her stead, we have some pretty incredible guests. Adam and Carrie Brawley are here to talk about all things gardening. And I guess the first thing I'd like to get into is to talk a little bit about the history of your company, because I think it's pretty unique. You guys have been here a long time, and maybe people don't really understand the history and the established roots that you have in this community. So, Carrie, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about, you know, Brawley, kind of how it started, and, you know, just tell us about the company. People may not know.
Well, my grandfather, William Brawley, started it in 1946. We originated in seed cleaning, so mostly fescue seed, but vegetables too. We would clean seed and then distribute it as a wholesaler.
So what was the purpose of cleaning?
To remove like inoculate seed or weed seed in it, so it was pure.
Sure.
And we dabbled in retail, and then they had a whole side of the business, and then we had, you know, two separate companies as a wholesale and a retailer. And then when my dad took over in the 80s, he got away from the wholesale and just focused on growing plants. That's really what a lot of his background was in. So that's kind of how they, am I missing anything? That's kind of how it started.
Pretty good explanation. Yeah.
And just so people know, you'll hear the banter back and forth between these two. They're brother and sister. And
yeah,
so,
well, you're not husband and wife. Yeah. We go out downtown a lot and people think we're married, but we're just siblings. So that's it. So
yeah. And so if you have any siblings, you kind of know how that works, right? Yeah. So, we talked briefly about the name change and when that happened and how you went back. So, Adam, tell us a little bit about why that you decided to do that and why you decided to go back and kind of what the overall mission of the business is.
Well, it used to be that people saw our name and they'd see us in the yellow pages. So Brawley Seed
yellow pages.
Didn't confirm that it was actually a garden center. Right. So before the internet, we were like, well, all it says is Brawley Seed in the phone book. Why don't we change it to Brawley Garden Center so it's more on point to actually what we are? But, with the advent of the internet, kind of a big deal, people can see who you are and what you're doing, and you don't have to be as specific with your name. So you can be Brawley Seed and Garden Center, or just Brawley Seed, and it's, there's also pictures there to back up, they sell plants too, not just seed, so...
Well, I think that's interesting. You said the yellow book, the yellow pages. I'm old enough to remember those getting delivered to my front yard, right? Yeah. And it was interesting how many businesses made the attempt to use the A, right, to get to the top of that list, right?
Yeah.
So it was double A, triple A, AAAA, whatever, in the business. But yeah, man, for those who maybe are a little younger, the yellow pages, maps. I will tell you, maps, thank God for GPS on your phone, right? Because if you've ever had to pull out a map and unfurl that thing, pull over on the side of the road and try to figure out where you're going, and thank God for the map makers.
I'm not sure I could read a map, to be honest.
It's an art. It's an art. It really is. I mean, I remember, the parents want to plan out a trip, man. You get out the big map, and then you get the marker, and you mark all the routes. And
there was a time when I mocked smartphones and backup cameras, and now... I couldn't do without either one. So
really nice.
And the yellow pages, maps, all the things that we take for granted. I saw something yesterday which I thought was mind blowing. So we landed on the moon in 1969, and there was a central computer that was used for that. The cell phone that we have in our pocket right now is 100,000 times more powerful than what took us to the moon. I mean, think about that.
It's pretty incredible.
That's scary, right? I mean, and that was only 50 years ago. And how crazy is it that we've replaced so many things with one small, right? We used to have to have a radio. We used to have a camera. We used to have a map. We used to have, all of these things that now are on this little portable device. So I think sometimes everybody takes those for granted. But if you're older like me and you had a yellow pages book and you had maps, you really appreciate the technology that we have today. So obviously this time of year, it's early spring. The weather has been cooperative because we need the rain. My yard certainly needed it. I'm glad that we had a little bit of it. But I know that obviously people are looking for that opportunity to get out in the yard and plant flowers and all those things. So tell us a little bit about about what you guys are doing this time of year and what people can expect when they visit your location.
Plants, plants, and more plants. I mean, we start growing our crops in the middle of December for spring sales. So the first thing is we start our geraniums, and they start in the middle of December, and then about the first or second week of January, we start hanging baskets, and then perennials the end of January, and annuals, middle of February. So tomatoes, we've started all these crops, December, you know, 3 or 4 months ago. Now we're bringing them out of our back greenhouses and putting them up for retail sale. So
okay,
just moving them out and then starting new crops, getting ready for, you know, the starting crops that we'll sell 6 to 8 weeks from now. So
what's the lead time, Carrie, typically for, you know, he mentions the greenhouses and all that. Kind of what's the lead time for most of the plants and flowers that you sell in the spring?
It depends on what it is, but a lot of it is, like Adam said, about 6 to 8 weeks on annuals and perennials. And then tomatoes a little bit less, and herbs usually about 3 to 4 weeks on a lot of that stuff. But we just grow what we like and we just try to move it.
Yeah. So every crop takes a different amount of time. Like lavender from seed to being able to sell, it might be 8 months.
Wow, really?
Basil from seed to being able to sell, it might be 4 weeks. So it just depends on the crop and things like that. So
what is the most popular or several of the most popular items that you tend to sell in the spring from a flower or an herb perspective?
Tomatoes. We sell a ton of tomatoes. We grow a ton of tomatoes.
Vegetable crops are our bread and butter. We're going to be stocked up on tomatoes and peppers and zucchini and squash and cucumbers.
Really?
That's what people come to us for. And we sell all that stuff in seed form as well. But we start it off, if you want to do it easier and buy a plant, you can buy a plant. If you want to, you know. But a lot of people are scared of seed nowadays. It's kind of sad because it's so easy to do some things from seed, like beans and corn and squash and zucchini are really easy to do from seed.
You know, it's so much cheaper too.
It's a lot cheaper.
Like if you're looking for a way to, you know, save money to grow your own food, seed is definitely the way to go. I mean,
we sell bean plants, and sometimes we feel a little bad about it, but we also try to educate people, like, you know, you could sow this seed and in 10 days you could have this plant. So
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So why do you think people are scared of seed, Carrie?
I think they're scared of failure. I think it's just something unknown to them, and they don't want to try it. I think a lot of people also don't realize that for summer crops is that you don't need all the extra stuff. You don't need like the grow lights, and you don't need the extra pots and all that stuff. I mean, all you need is a sunny location. You need to, you know, loosen the soil up, put your seed in the ground and water it and fertilize it. And like that's the big thing. And it's really simple, and need some risk takers to try it out.
You think there's this sense of, you know, immediate gratification too, that people just want something to show up?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
You
know, it's a lesson in patience, gardening in general.
Yeah.
I
know that my wife has been doing the tomato thing for years, and she's always frustrated because, well, she loves the cherry tomatoes, and then we get the cherry tomatoes and they just explode. Like, I mean, they're just popping up every other day, and there's, you know, but she can never get the big ones to grow. Right. So I'm going to go home, have a conversation with my wife later, because I'm going to get educated by both of you. What is the key to growing larger tomatoes?
What would you say?
I'd say regular fertilizing and lots of airflow. Sometimes people will crowd stuff into too small of an area. They'll try to get 10 tomato plants where only 4 should go.
Mm.
So that cuts down on how healthy the plants are doing, how they're surviving. And then a lot of people don't feed often enough. So if you're doing like synthetic fertilizer, like 10-10-10 fertilizer, which a lot of people have heard of, you'd want to do that every 3 weeks. And if you're doing something organic, the release is slower, every 4 to 5 weeks. But the initial stuff that you get out of, like cow manure or mushroom compost, isn't really enough to feed a plant through the whole season. So you need to go back and feed, supplemental feeding, whether it's organic or synthetic. You need to be giving them some food. That's the main thing.
Interesting. That's good to know. Yeah. I think my wife might be the crowding person, like things are too close together, right?
You're better off planting.
Yeah. And I know that with her, a lot of the issues that she has are with bugs, you know, like they start to burrow into the tomato before it's done, you know, and obviously, you know, bugs have to eat too. What are your suggestions on keeping bugs out of a tomato? Like, what do you do?
So,
and the birds too, they like to peck on them, right?
So, yeah, birds are a problem when they start becoming ripe. So mm-hmm. like they make bird netting that you can drape over the garden. Mm-hmm. Insects are a little harder. Some people believe that planting marigolds will keep insects out of the garden. And I'm not going to say whether that's right or wrong because I don't know well enough. It's not right. it's just insects are more along the curative line. You don't want to be putting any systemics on there to prevent them because that's something you're going to be eating.
Right.
So just when you end up with a problem is when you cure it. So like cabbage plants, majority of the time you're going to get cabbage worms. That's just what happens. These little white butterflies lay an egg on there and you get cabbage worms. And like the best way to get rid of those is with, it's an organic product or a biological product called Dipel dust or Thuricide spray. And all it does is kill caterpillars, so cabbage worms, corn ear worms, things like that.
But right.
Aphids are a problem in your home garden, and then squash bugs are a problem. And they all have different methods that you can get rid of them, whether it's organic products or synthetic insecticides. So,
all right. Well, I'm intrigued, I have to tell you. And this is a great conversation. I think myself and the average person will find it entertaining. So we will talk more with Adam and Carrie Brawley when we come back here on iHeart Mooresville.
Stick around. More iHeart Mooresville with hosts Christine Patterson and Don Smile is coming up on WSIC. Local starts here. Mooresville, how we feeling? Good. Welcome back to iHeart Mooresville on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
All right. Welcome back to iHeart Mooresville here on WSIC. I'm your host, Don Smile, and we are joined today by Adam and Carrie Brawley. We're talking all things gardening, seed, plants, animals. You know, we're just covering the spectrum here. So it's funny. We were having a conversation off camera about groundhog. And I think you had told a story about an incident you had in the recent past with a groundhog on your property. So tell us that story because I think people will find it amusing.
Do you prefer you to tell it?
Go ahead.
So this was a couple fall, maybe 2 years ago in the fall. And we had something that was climbing up on our tables. We knew it was an animal, but it was just plowing through our cool season crops. I mean, kale, cabbage, just decimated, gone. About halfway through about $3,000 worth of crops, we decided to put up some cameras, and we finally found the culprit, and it was a giant groundhog. And we tried to net it, but if you don't know anything about groundhogs, they can slide into very, very narrow areas. And they also don't leave any
scat
around because they
poop in their homes. They have a bathroom inside of their tunnel network.
So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we've been looking for scat forever.
Things you didn't know you needed to know, right?
So we tried to, you know, just cover crops, and we couldn't handle it. They were getting up underneath their netting. So finally we trapped him using a live trap. And
so the two baits that work for groundhogs, you can either trap them on cantaloupe, if you ever have to trap one. Cantaloupe works good, or apple slices with vanilla extract on them.
That's finally how we caught him. So,
and so was he a big fella?
He was. technically, if you trap one, you're supposed to put it down humanely. I can't recall if you did that or not. We might let it go somewhere. But
And what is the reason for putting it down versus just taking it somewhere?
I guess the wildlife, whoever's in charge of that, doesn't want you relocating wild animals to different neighborhoods and things like that. So.
Okay. Did not know that.
So.
Well, that reminds me of a situation I have pretty much every year now is I have issues with moles in my yard. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. You know you have a mole when suddenly you have these like hills in your yard that weren't there. And they generally appear overnight. And it's like these things are very industrious. They can cover some ground. And if you're walking along your yard and suddenly you sink into into your yard, you know you have a mole. And they are hard to trap. They are hard to get out of your yard. I think they feed on grubs and things underground. So that's typically how you try to address it. And then we eventually got these traps or whatever. And we've had some effect on that. But they're yard destroyers. I mean, we talk about gophers and whatever, but moles, man, they'll tear it up.
Yeah, there's a few different ways you can get rid of them. They all have their own little drawbacks. The spring-loaded traps are probably one of the better things to use, and it's not even something I sell. But also, there's Of course, there's a poison bait, poison peanuts that'll get moles. But then you have to worry about your animals and other animals in the neighborhood and things like that. And then there's products you can put out that'll get rid of the grubs. But then you have to worry about their effect on the earthworms in the ground. So there's that rub on it. And then an organic way to get rid of the grubs, which they're mostly feeding on, is called milky spore. And it works well, but it takes a long time. So it's a spore that colonizes your soil.
Okay.
So the grubs don't want to be in there, or they can't live in there. So that's probably the safest way, but it takes a few months to get your soil to the level where it has enough spore in it to offset the grubs.
Well, I will tell you, I did catch a couple of them, and they are some interesting looking creatures.
Yeah. They're tasty as well.
Oh, really?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Are we going there? They don't have eyes. And so when they come out, they just have that nose and the big claws because they burrow through the ground. But they are some interesting looking creatures. And, you know, we love all God's creatures, but they're unique. So tell me, Carrie, you recently won a pretty big award. And maybe the residents don't know this, and I'm sure you're quite proud of it. So give yourself a round of applause and a pat on the back and tell us about the award you recently received.
We won 2023's Entrepreneur of the Year Award from the Mooresville Chamber of Commerce. Thank you.
That's amazing.
That was a pretty exciting and very humbling experience, and we're still a little shocked that we won it.
So is this something that you're nominated for? How does that whole process work? Are you aware?
We just figured we'd been around long enough that it was just time to get something. So I don't
kind of like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah. You just live long enough, eventually you get in, right? So
I'm not really sure how we won it, but we did. We received it. We got to meet Richard Petty, which was awesome.
He is beautiful still.
The king.
Very nice jewelry.
Yes, the king. I spent 20 plus years in NASCAR, and so I got to know the king very well and have hung out with him, and he's quite the presence when he walks in the room.
Yes, he's so kind. He took pictures with everybody that wanted a picture with him. It was really, really awesome to see.
Yeah, I think that's his reputation. You know, he's signed a billion autographs, and he's, you know, he understands how important it is to connect with the fans. He's kind of been the driving force behind that since the 60s when he came on the scene. And, you know, he has such a presence when he walks in the room, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. That beautiful smile.
Yeah. You knew when he walked in, was he wearing his hat? His cowboy hat?
Yeah.
He's tall, too. I didn't think drivers were tall, but he's tall. So.
Yeah, he's a tall drink of water. And, you know, we talk about the hat. It's interesting how many events I've gone to where he wasn't wearing the hat or the glasses, and he walks in and half people don't even recognize him because they don't know that look without the hat and sunglasses, right?
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, because he has curly hair, which, you know, most people don't see because it's under the cowboy hat. And, you know, like you said, he's very tall, but without the glasses and without the hat, he just kind of blends in. But yeah, you're right. He's a super amazing human being. He's been a tremendous ambassador for NASCAR and racing over decades now. And he does give freely of his time. And I thought that it seems interesting that he was part of the South Iredale Chamber of Commerce presentation.
Yeah.
It was
a really nice interview too.
Well, congratulations on the award. Well deserved.
Thank you.
Like you said, you don't have any idea why, but does it matter, right? You got the award. So I'd like to ask, because you mentioned earlier people are scared maybe of seed and things like that. If you're the average person and you want to start a garden, or you, let's just start with flowers, and you want, because my wife will kill flowers. If you want to start with some basic flowers, what are some flowers that are hardy, enjoy being outside, and would be a good starter?
Well, if you have full sun or part of the day sun, so that means 6 or more hours of sunlight, direct sunlight, perennial wise, which means it comes back every year. I like black-eyed Susan, Shasta daisies, which are great pollinator plants.
That's good. I like that.
I like Monarda, which is bee balm. The smell is heavenly, and then it's fairly easy to grow. And it comes in a ton of different sizes. So depending on, you know, your space you have, that's really nice.
Perennial lantana.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Easy things. So I think, you know, if you're new to gardening, you want to start off with something easy. And the things she just listed are all easy. They don't get any insect problems. The bee balm can get a little bit of what's called powdery mildew, but it's not a big deal. But perennial lantana is great for getting butterflies and bumblebees into your garden. Cone flowers, most people are familiar with that, and they're just a classic perennial plant. So those are all, you know, plant them once, and they should be there for many, many years to come.
You know, it's interesting because we talk about perennials. I've bought annuals that come back, and I'm shocked.
Something wrong with those. You need to pull them up and throw them away.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
They're infesting my garden in some way, shape, or form. No. But it is interesting because we didn't expect, you know, there's a couple that we bought like maybe 5 years ago, and they keep coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm okay with that. I don't have to buy again, and they still look pretty. But is that unique, or is that just, why does that happen if it's not called a perennial?
Well, they could be resowing themselves from seed. Mm-hmm. So if most flowers produce a seed, unless it's a sterile plant. And then it just depends on the winter. If we have a mild winter, things will make it through it. You know, if it got down to 10 degrees, they die. But if it gets down to 20, they're okay. So,
wow. Well, like I said, I'm not complaining because it's less that I have to purchase and plant. They just show up and there they are. And they look beautiful. So we talked about the beginner. So, Adam, tell me a little bit about maybe some things that are a little more complicated for people to get into from a gardening perspective, you know, to maintain. But that look beautiful. I think roses would fit in that category, wouldn't it?
Yeah, roses can be some work to have them be pristine and fabulous looking. One of the main things is regular feeding on roses. And then a bigger thing is regular pruning. So roses you want to, aside from shrub roses like knockouts, like tea roses and grandifloras, floribundas, you want to prune once a week. You want to deadhead off all the old flowers so that they're not producing rose hips. You want them to put all their energy into producing new leaves and new flowers. So on a rose, the main thing is you want to, you know, when the blossom's gone bad, follow that blossom down to at least the first or second set of five leaves. So it'll be like three leaves, five leaves, seven leaves, and you want to cut above a set of five leaves. And then you'll have cut like a quarter inch to a half inch above that set, and that's where your new growth will come out of.
My goodness, there's a lot to learn here. And it's all just flowing out of you like, you know, second nature. I love that.
Well, I could be making it all up. You don't know.
And I wouldn't know. I'm quite sure you know what you're talking about. So we'll continue our conversation with Adam and Carrie Brawley here on iHeart Mooresville after these words from our friends on WSIC.
Right back with more iHeart Mooresville on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. Call now to speak with iHeart Mooresville hosts Christine Patterson and Don Smile at 844-STUDIO-4. It's iHeart Mooresville on WSIC.
All right, welcome back to iHeart Mooresville here on WSIC. I'm your host, Don Smile. We have had a really cool conversation with Adam and Carrie from Brawley Seed and Garden Center today, and we'll talk to them again here in a moment. But I wanted to talk about some of the things that are going on in the parks and recreation world. For those who are avid golfers and want to get your child into golfing, our friends at the Mooresville Golf Club, the Junior Golf Camp registration is now open. And the intent here is that your golfer will learn basic, practice their putting and chipping skills, and more. So we have a few spots left. Registration is open as we speak. So to go online, go to mooresvillenc.gov/golf. The steps listed there will tell you how to do that. Or you can call directly at 704-663-7026. And as always, you're welcome to stop by the One Mooresville office and chat with Debbie. At the front desk. She'll be more than happy to take care of you. So again, a couple openings still left for the junior golf program. Also, as a couple of reminders about Liberty Park, and we talked briefly about Liberty Park earlier, the playground is currently closed to the public. We have an outside contractor installing some shade sails over the seating areas so parents and their children can sit in the shade during the summer months. That is scheduled to be completed this Friday. However, given the weather, there may be some delays, and obviously we'll keep you up to date on that. You can visit us on our Facebook page at Mooresville Recreation, Mooresville Parks and Recreation, to keep up to date on when that will reopen. And also, something else that was recently taking place at Liberty Park is the resurfacing of the splash pad, which is extremely popular in the summer. Kids love that place. And the surface itself was resurfaced recently to give it a little more texture and eliminate some of the slippery spots. And so the splash pads, both of them, we have one at Liberty Park and one at Hope Park. They will both open on Memorial Day. And so set your calendars and your alarms, and your children will bug you to take you out there and run through the water because it's a lot of fun. We would just ask that you don't let your pets run through it because it tends to mess up the filtration system and then it shuts down. And so we don't want that to happen. Just a friendly reminder. Also, summer specialty camps registration is now open. And summer specialty camps and swim lessons are available. So we offer basketball, football, cheerleading, tennis, skateboarding, and more. And skateboarding is a new one. We're actually going to have some classes for skateboarding this year. And obviously they'll be held at the Mooresville Skate Park, which is the largest in the Southeast. And it's quite impressive. I wish that I still rode my skateboard, although I'm sure my body would beg me not to do it. I've injured myself enough when I was younger. I don't need to do it now. But my goodness, I love going out there and just watching kids have fun and people out there. I wish I had a skate park that cool when I was younger.
It's pretty incredible looking place. Really nice. I'm not a skater at all. No. Too tall and too big, but I'm impressed.
Well, the interesting thing too is, I mean, if you like to do inline skating, roller skating, BMX bike, they're all welcome out there.
Yeah, you had those Mighty Duck days.
Yeah.
90s.
Elaborate, what is a Mighty Duck day?
Well, he was really into the Mighty Ducks, him and my cousins. They used to wear their hockey jerseys and their inline skates around.
We were 12, that was cool back then. So
I will tell you, there's some really impressive inline skaters that go out there. What's even more shocking to me is how young some of these kids are. They're probably 5 or 6 years old, and they're out there riding skateboards, and they look amazing. And I'm like, wow. I mean, first of all, God bless their parents, but they all do wear protective gear, so that's good. But it's an amazing place. We were fortunate to have Thrasher Magazine out there last year, and they held an exhibition with 10 professional skaters, and there were thousands of people out there at the skate park. And people came from far away as New York and Florida just to come to our skate park.
Wow, that's awesome.
Because it's such a destination. And so it was really, really cool. But so make your plans to go out to the Mooresville Skate Park. And by the way, it does have lights. It is open till midnight. The lights shut off automatically at midnight. But it is somewhere you can go in the evening, beat the heat of the day, go out there and enjoy. And also a reminder that all of our parks, most of our parks, and certainly those with baseball fields and tennis courts, as well as the skate park, are online, and you can view them via camera. So you can go to the MooresvilleRecreation.org webpage and click on parks, and you'll see a link for park cameras. And that allows you to kind of see what the crowd looks like, what the weather is before you go out. And so if you happen to want to go out to the skate park and take a look at it ahead of time, you can see. So just a friendly reminder. So just a few of the things going on in the Parks and Recreation world. So as we continue our conversation with Adam and Carrie from Brawley Seed and Garden Center, we were talking about some of the things that people may be, scared to grow, and maybe some of the experts, and you were talking about roses. So let's kind of pick that up. What are some of the other things that, people who are seasoned gardeners tend to want to grow or what is the more popular?
Well, fruit trees is probably one of the more challenging things to do around here, and that's just because of disease and insect pressure, and then late winter frost will harm a lot of fruit trees, especially peaches. If you ever hear, sometime in April, there's always a frost in South Carolina or Lower North Carolina, and they're worried about the peach crops. The blooms freeze off very easily. So the fruit trees can be very rewarding, but they can be very challenging because you need to do, in my opinion, you need to do a lot of spraying on them, fungicides, insecticides, just to have nice, clean, edible fruit. If you're just doing it for wildlife to feed the deer and things like that, then you don't have to worry about it. But if you're going to eat it yourself, you want something that's not all scarred up or has mold or something or fungus on it.
Right. So does Brawley sell fruit or just the plants?
We don't sell any produce. Okay. We just sell the plants. Okay. So, and some of them might have produce on it when you buy it. You might find a blueberry that's got some ripe ones out there if we haven't picked them already. But,
yeah, we do like to snack on them.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow. Okay, that's cool.
But a lot of times we'll have blueberries and muscadines and things like that put on fruit at the store. And they're easy crops to grow. I know one of the guys in the back was having problems with his blackberries and raspberries. And there's something you got to keep in mind about those is they have two different types of stems. They have fruiting stems and then age. So, I shouldn't have brought it up because I can't remember the terms right now. But, most blackberry and raspberry stems don't put on fruit till their second year. And then after that, they'll die. And the canes that were growing but that didn't fruit will fruit the following. So.
Okay. We talked briefly about pollinator gardens, and that was something that we did during the Mooresville 150 celebration mm-hmm. last year was to create this drive to create pollinator gardens. And even though I didn't live in Mooresville, I found it very interesting, so I actually went home and created one myself. So, Carrie, tell us a little about what a pollinator garden is and maybe what types of flowers are really good for that, because the intent is to draw insects and bees and other others to that location. So talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. So something I think a lot of people forget when they're growing, they want all the beautiful flowers, which definitely attract all your pollinators. But something I think a lot of people forget about are herbs. So, for instance, like parsley and dill are host plants for swallowtail, I believe. And so those are really nice, cool things that are easy to add into your pollinator garden. Mm. This is something kind of unique. I really love tall garden phlox for pollinator gardens because it looks cool and it's super attractive. Milkweed is a big one you have to have for the monarchs.
Mm.
We sell a ton of milkweed at the garden center, and then nectar-rich plants and also seasonal plants. So things like asters, which is going to be one of the latest food supplies for pollinators, they bloom in fall. So just having like an all-encompassing garden that's going to have seasonality to it.
Okay.
Because, most perennials are only going to bloom for 6 to 8 weeks. Some will bloom a lot longer, but just having having seasonality in mind when you plant. So planting some crops that are going to bloom later, like I said, asters and Joe Pye weed is a late one. Celadago.
I had no idea about the herb component. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Great. Who doesn't like a nice herb? Speaking of animals, maybe not an animal, but an insect, the cicadas are crazy this year. I know that they came out. It is like they're on megaphones around trees. Have you heard these things?
I haven't noticed much of a difference.
<I didn't> either.
we work a lot of hours, so okay. I'm going to bed kind of early. But
in bed by like 8.
Yeah,
I will tell you, it was like my wife and I were driving down the road the other day, and we had our windows open, and it was like it was on stereo. Like you would drive near any trees, and it was just this deafening noise, right? And And then, of course, I was mowing my grass over the weekend, and one flew in my face like the alien. And I will say I did scream because it was unexpected. So as we close out the show, how can people get in touch with you? Where can they keep up with you? What's your social? Where you're located? Kind of give us all the deets.
So we are at Brawley Seed Co. on Instagram and TikTok. I don't really do a lot on TikTok, so don't go there. But and then Brawley Seed Company on Facebook. We're located at 982 North Main Street in Mooresville.
Across from Food Lion.
Yeah, we've been at that same location since 1946.
Wow.
Go check out John Franklin Moore Park downtown. We're about to finish up a really cool install in partnership with the Downtown Commission. It'll be pretty neat. It's fishing themed. So if you have any kids that like fishing, it's It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I failed to mention the amazing work that you do at John Moore Park. So if you happen to drive by John Moore Park and see all the flowers, the installations that happen there, it's courtesy of Adam and Carrie, and we appreciate what they do for the town. So I want to thank each of you for coming today. This has been fun. I've learned a great deal, and don't be surprised if I call you and ask more questions.
You're more than welcome to.
We'll be around.
And we will have you back soon. So we appreciate everybody joining us here today on iHeart Mooresville here on WSIC. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.